Well, take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 21, if you will, please. Revelation chapter 21, not hard to find, comes right after chapter 20. Makes it easy for country boys like me to find it. Now, if you notice someone sitting by you that doesn't have a Bible, scooch over and let them look on yours with you. If they don't have a King James Bible, they still don't have a Bible. Scooch over and look, let them look on yours with you. Revelation chapter 21, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. No unbelievers in hell. What? You mean no unbelievers in heaven? Well, there are no unbelievers in heaven, I'll guarantee you. People died believing in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, died as believers, they're instantly in heaven. No unbelievers in heaven. But I'm going to show you in the Word of God today, there are no unbelievers in hell either. They believe it now. They believe Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation now. They all believe it. They're believers. But it's too late. No way out. No way back. Eternal burning in hell. When we come to Revelation 21, time now has moved out. What we have known on earth as time is gone, and we are in eternity. As chapter 21 begins, all the people who are in heaven, going to be in heaven, are in heaven by now. In eternity, time is gone. All the people in hell are in hell, now in eternity. John is on the Isle of Patmos, the Apostle John, being guided by the Holy Spirit as he writes every word, letter, jot, and tittle in the book of Revelation. John writes in Revelation 21:1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them." That, of course, is saved people, you understand. "He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people." Well, if you're saved, you are. "And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And I love verse 4. We're in eternity now, folks, as we read this. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." These are his people in heaven. "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Yes, by this time we're in eternity. I love that. All tears wiped away from our eyes, Christian. There's no crying in heaven. There should be no more death. The holy city has no cemetery. Neither sorrow. Think of all the sorrow you know in this life, in this world, but not over there. Time has passed now, all in eternity. Neither sorrow. Neither shall there be any more pain. You couldn't even buy a Tylenol in heaven. You think of the people in hell, weeping, wailing, crying, in sorrow, in agony, in torment, in pain, in the flames, forever. You're saved. You need to thank God you're saved. You've got an eternity with no more tears to shed, no more crying, no sorrow, no funerals to attend, and no more pain. If you're not saved, that's all you're going to know is pain for all eternity. So here we are in eternity as we read this. God's people in heaven, no more sorrow. Then if you glance over in chapter 20, as it closes out here, look at verse 10 in Revelation chapter 20. We find out that Satan, that old dirty devil, has been cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And it says in that verse that Satan is going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah! I hate that devil. He's the enemy of my Savior. I'm glad he's going to burn forever in the lake of fire. Then verses 11 through 15, we read about the great white throne judgment. This is where lost people, all the people in hell, will be brought out of hell to stand before that great white throne where God sits on that throne, and it says the books will be opened. Do you realize that God keeps a book on every human being when they're on this earth and writes down every one of their sins? The books are going to be opened. Now, Christine, you and I will be at that judgment, but we'll be in the bleachers. We're going to watch it. Thank God we won't have to stand there. Everybody in the universe, everybody who ever lived on earth, and all the angels, all are going to hear every sin that every lost person ever committed. All the unsolved crimes will be solved then. People are going to find out people they trusted really weren't what they thought they were. Because the books are going to be opened. But I thank God I'll be in the bleachers. If I hadn't received Christ as my Savior as a teenage kid when I did, and went on as an unbeliever and died, I'd have to be at that white throne. But you know what? The book that God put all my sins in my life, when I received Christ as my Savior, He applied the blood to those pages and they're pure white. My sins are gone, Brother Carter. They're gone. Wasn't it wonderful to be saved? Oh. And so the white throne judgment, after the books are opened and everybody learns every sin of every lost person that ever lived on the earth, the last verse says they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's hell in its final state. The lake of fire. Now, when people die as believers in Christ, they've received Him as their Savior, trusted Him and Him alone to save them, they go to heaven instantly. When people live this life as unbelievers, will not receive Christ, cling to some religion or some humanistic philosophy, do not become believers in Christ, they die, they go to hell. But I'm going to show you from this book, they're believers now. But it's too late, like I said. No way he can ever escape hell. Let's go to Revelation 21 a little further now. Go down to verse 7 where we read about the saved people in eternity. 21:7, He that overcometh. Now that's a saved person. If you compare that with Revelation 2:7, you'll find out the overcomer is the person who has overcome Satan and sin by receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the overcomer. That's the saved people. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Yes, we're joint heirs with Christ, Christian. And I will be his God, says God. Yes. And he shall be my son. And that's a generic son. That takes you ladies and girls in too. Now that's the saved people in eternity. Verse 8, the lost people in eternity. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They don't pass out of existence. They're just eternally cut off from God. That's spiritual death. Now, I want you to look at that verse real close. There are 8 categories of people in hell listed here. Actually, there are 7 separate categories because there's one word here, one category that fits them all. That's unbelieving. Unbelieving fits them all because they died as unbelievers. Let's just look at the categories here. I want you to notice the word abominable. Let me say this about the word abominable. The other kinds of sin that are listed here, everything else would be under the abominable. All kinds of sin would come into that aren't listed here with this. Get that. But let's start from the bottom and work up. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Now that's people who lived a lie. Hypocrites. People who lived a lie. Going to the lake of fire. Idolaters. That's people that worship false gods. Idolaters. But would you think about this? The liars, the hypocrites, and the idolaters are both unbelievers. It's the unbelief that puts people in hell. Refusal to believe on Jesus Christ as personal Savior that puts you there. So even though all idolaters were probably not hypocrites, and all hypocrites, the liars, were not idolaters, but they were both unbelieving. Let's work up a little further. Sorcerers, that's witchcraft. Sorcerers, Satan worship. Whoremongers, vile, wicked, sexual sins that God hates. Now, all sorcerers were not whoremongers. All whoremongers were certainly not sorcerers, but both are unbelievers. It's the unbelief, the refusal to believe on Jesus Christ, receive Him as your Savior, that puts a person in hell. Then I mentioned the abominable. That would just take everybody else in that's not listed here. Then notice the word fearful. The fearful have their part. In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The fearful? Why should fearful people go to the lake of fire? These are people who had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heard the way of salvation. Realized they were going to have to turn from their sin and repentance and receive Christ. But they were afraid. They were fearful. They were afraid of what some other person might say, think, or do if they got saved. And that fear has taken them to hell. I've witnessed to many people, and I've had them say, "But if I did what you're showing me here, my priest would be mad at me." And so because of their fear of their priest, they didn't receive Christ. I've had women say, "But if I received Christ, my husband would be mad at me." Because of her fear of her husband, she rejects Jesus Christ. I've had it the other way too. The husband, afraid of his wife, he'd be mad at him if he got saved. I preached a lot of youth camps. I love teenagers. I used to be one of them 100 years ago or so. And I've had teenage boys say to me, "But if I got saved, my girlfriend would leave me. I'm not going to do that. He's afraid of leaving his girlfriend." I've had girls say, "Well, but if I did what you're telling me, preacher, my boyfriend would leave me." And because of the fear of losing a boyfriend, she rejects Christ. That's the fearful here. The unbelieving, that covers the whole crowd. Because it's the unbelief that puts people in to hell. Now, according to God, what is a believer? What do you have to believe to qualify before God as a believer and spend eternity in heaven? I want to show you three things that a person must believe, according to God, in His Word, to be qualified as a believer. It takes all three things that I'm going to give you, not just one or two, all three to qualify. Number one, you must believe that you're a condemned sinner. You don't believe you're a condemned sinner, you're not going to become a believer. You've got to believe you're a condemned sinner. You cannot become a heaven-bound believer until you realize you're a hell-bound, unbelieving sinner. Nobody is born into this world automatically a believer. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we," talking about the whole human race, "all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." Everyone. We're not automatically believers. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John, the third chapter. In this chapter, we have Jesus Christ, the Savior, who is talking to a religious man who is like all religious people, he's lost and going to hell. Religious people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. Don't ever blame religion on God. He didn't come up with it. Satan did. Religion is of the devil. Salvation is of the Lord. So this man Nicodemus that's in this story, he's a religious leader, but he's lost, like all religious people. And Jesus is talking to him. You notice he says to him in verse 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's heaven. You have to be born again. Well, people say to me, "Why do I have to be born again?" Because you were born wrong the first time. Just like I was. We have to be reborn spiritually. And he says to him in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye Nicodemus, ye religious leader, ye must be born again." Now, Nicodemus was a nice guy. He was a Sabbath school teacher. He probably didn't beat his wife more than once a week. He was a nice guy. But he's on the road to hell. And Jesus is still talking to him when we get down to the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. This is Jesus saying this to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means to go to hell. But have everlasting life. Jesus says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, verse 17, that the world through him might be saved. Then I want you to look at verse 18. Jesus says to Nicodemus, and yes, the rest of us, he that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, he that believeth. That's a believer, isn't it? He that believeth on him is not condemned. The day I put my faith in Jesus Christ, my condemnation was taken away. But he that believeth not, that's an unbeliever, isn't it? Is condemned already. Condemned already. I've had people say to me, what do I have to do to go to hell? Die. You're already condemned to hell. Already. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed. Not believed. Not believed. That's an unbeliever, isn't it? In the name of the only begotten Son of God. Every person who comes into this world is condemned already. We're sinners by nature, and we are sinners by choice. You've got to believe that fact before you can become a real believer, that you are a condemned sinner to begin with. Now, in my many years of pastoring, now, I've been in evangelism longer than that, but mainly when I was pastoring, I would sit in people's homes, people that we knocked on their door, they came and visited church, and sit down with them to try to lead them to Christ. Well, you've got to deal with sin. And so to help them understand, I would ask them a question. I'd say, what sin will condemn you to hell? You ought to hear what people would say. The first, the most, Brother Carter, the one I heard the most was murder. They'd say, well, you commit murder, you go to hell. I said, can you show me a verse that says that in the Bible? No. No, it isn't murder that sends you to hell. Now, murder is a horrible, awful, wicked, vile sin. But it's not murder that sends people to hell. I know murderers that got saved. One of the biggest name murderers I've ever known about right here in the Bible, his name was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle after he got saved when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was a murderer. He was murdering Christians. Is he in hell today? No, where is Paul? He's in heaven. You see, murder doesn't send you to hell. It's wicked. It's vile. But it's not murder that sends people to hell. I've had them say, well, you commit adultery. That'll put you in hell. Show me a verse that says that. Now, adultery is wicked. It's vile. God hates it. It's horrible. But that's not what puts people in hell. Well, you think about it. Remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well? Jesus met her at the well. She was an adulteress, guilty of adultery. But she got under conviction, and she got saved. She put her faith in Jesus right there and got saved. Remember in John chapter 8, the woman that was brought to the temple, that she had been caught in the actual deed of adultery. Caught in adultery. And they brought her one of Jesus to condemn her. But she opened her heart to Jesus there, and he saved her. Well, where are those two women today? Are they in hell? They were adulteresses. Are they in hell? No, they're in heaven. Adultery doesn't send you to hell. It's wicked and it's vile, but it's not adultery that takes people to hell. But I've had more people say that to me. Another one, they'd say, well, you drink liquor, that'll put you in hell. Well, drinking liquor is a wicked, vile sin. Proverbs 20 and verse 1 says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. But that isn't what puts you in hell. Well, you smoke cigarettes, That'll put you in hell. It'll make you smell like you've been there. But you can't show me a verse in the Bible that says that that'll put you in hell. Well, you commit idolatry. Idolatry will put you in hell. Well, idolatry is wicked. Worshiping a false god. But every unsaved person does that. Idolatry is spittle on the face of God. It's a cold blade stabbed into his heart. Idolatry is wicked. But I know a lot of idolaters that got saved are in heaven right now. Idolatry is not what puts you in hell. Well, you use profanity, that'll put you in hell. Well, profanity is a wicked, vile sin, yes, but it won't put you in hell. You can't show me a verse that says that. I was not raised in a Christian home. When I was 14 years old, the kid I went to school with, he and his parents loved me enough to take me to an old-fashioned, knuckle-busting, devil-kicking, Christ-exalting, King James Bible-preaching, Independent Baptist Church. And I got under the preaching of that preacher. 14 years old. And I got under conviction. I saw myself as a condemned sinner, an unbeliever. And I repented of my sin like I was told to do in the Scriptures. And I called on Jesus Christ, believing He's the only one who could save me. He's the only way of salvation. And I received Him into my heart as my personal Savior. And He saved me that day. But listen, before I got saved, I could cuss, boy. Profanity, I could cuss. I learned from my dad how to cuss. Boy, could I cuss. And then the guys I ran around with school, I listened to them. Boy, did I learn. I could really cuss. Brother Carter, I can out-cuss a woman truck driver. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Huh? I was a profaner. I cussed. But when Jesus came into my heart, He cleaned up my mouth. I'm going to heaven. But I was guilty of profanity. No, it's not profanity that'll put you in hell. Well, you tell lies, that'll put you in hell. I've heard mothers tell their little kids, you lie to your mommy, you go to hell. No, lying isn't what puts you in hell. Look at John 3:18 again. What do we learn here that condemns a person to hell? Look at it now. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. That's the saved person. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he committed adultery? Committed murder? No. Drank liquor? No. Smoked cigarettes? No. Was guilty of idolatry? No. Was profane? Used profanity? No. Told lies? No. Because he hath not believed! Not believed! Not believed! In the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's the unbelief that puts people in hell. When you understand that you're a condemned sinner, you're in a position to get saved. That's number one, you've got to believe. Number two, you've got to believe to be qualified as a true believer. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Look at John 3:18 again. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Not Him plus the baptistry. How come you Baptists baptize? We baptize people the Bible way after they've been saved through the blood of Christ. Not in order to save them. Baptism never saved anybody. You can get baptized till the frogs know your social security number and you'll still go to hell when you die. It's not baptism that saves you. It's putting your faith in Jesus Christ in repentance of your sin and receiving Him into your heart as your Savior that gives you salvation. It's not Him plus something. It's just Jesus Christ. You add baptism, catechism, communion, confession, prayers, beads, candles, and Mary, and a pope or anybody else. You've perverted the truth. A perverted truth cannot save anybody. Condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's His name? Jesus Christ. What's the name Jesus mean? Savior. What does Christ mean? The Anointed One. There's only one. one anointed by Almighty God in heaven to be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ. No church, no denominational system, no, just Jesus Christ. If you don't believe on His name, that He is the one and only Savior, you go to hell when you die. Try to add something else, you go to hell when you die. Acts 4:12 says of Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Just Jesus Christ. No one else. In this business of thinking that baptism saves you, now just hold the phone, Joan. Wait a minute. Step on the brake, Jake. Watch where you're driving, Ivan. Wait a minute. If baptism saves you, then the guy that saves you is the guy that baptized you. Is His name Jesus Christ? No, there's none other name under heaven. So baptism can't do it. Jesus Christ never baptized anybody. Never. The Bible says He didn't do any baptizing. And if baptism is where you get your salvation, then Jesus wouldn't be the Savior, would He? He'd be the guy that baptized you. Baloney. Baptism is scriptural after you've gotten saved. When you get to a good New Testament Baptist church. But it's got nothing to do with saving. And if you're here today and you're trusting baptism, you're lost. You're an unbeliever. You're going to hell. You haven't believed in His name. You need to settle that matter before it's eternally too late. Jesus Christ came into this world for one purpose. To die on Calvary's cross. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. His purpose in coming to this world was to die. The wages of sin is what? Then He came in here to pay the wages of sin. Without shedding of blood is no remission for our sins. Is that what the Bible says? But it's got to be pure blood, spotless blood, sinless blood. There's only one person ever in this world that had that kind of blood. That's Jesus Christ. He came here for that purpose. I've heard Him talk about the martyrdom of Jesus. He wasn't a martyr. He could have spoken word and dropped that whole crowd at the cross into hell if He wanted to. No. He came here on purpose because there's only one way to provide salvation for a lost world. And that was to shed that precious pure blood and to die. And they put His body in the tomb, didn't they? But a dead Savior can't save anybody. So He did what He said He would do. Jesus said over in Matthew 12, He said, 3 days and three nights, I'm coming back. That's 72 hours. So 72 hours after they put Him in there, He broke the bands of death, came out of that grave, and He lives to save all who would come to Him for salvation. Now the Bible says, you've got to repent of your sin to be saved. Repentance isn't hard to understand. It's a change of mind that results in a change of direction. Now let's say that hell's that way and heaven's this way. We all came to the world headed that way, didn't we? Every one of us? Condemned already? Walking the broad road that leads to a burning hell? We all came in this way. Over here is a way to heaven. Over here is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is over here extending those hands wounded at Calvary and says, whosoever will, let him come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But we're going this way. How are you going to get to Him? 180 degree turn. You got to change your mind about going to hell. You got to change your mind about that religion you've got, or that humanistic philosophy you're clinging to. Change your mind about that. Change your mind about Jesus Christ, who's the only one can save you. Turn 180 degrees and come to Him. And it says, whosoever then, the one that's coming the right way, shall call upon the Lord's. Shall be saved. Call on Him, the Bible says, and receive Him into your heart as your Savior. And when you do, He applies that precious blood He shed at Calvary to your sins. That book full of your sins washes them all away. You, how about you? Could you stand up today before this crowd with God watching from heaven and give us your testimony of how and when and where you got saved? If you don't know how, you're not saved. Could you show me the Bible how you got saved, or tell us how you got saved that matches the Bible? If you can't, you're lost. Could you tell us when it happened in your life? If you're saved, you know when it happened. I don't mean you have to remember the date that was on the calendar particularly, but you could describe when it happened in your life if you're saved. And if you're saved, you could take me to somewhere in this world and point to it and say, right there, preacher, right there is where I was when I got saved. If you don't know where you were, it didn't happen. If you're saved, you know how, you know when, and you know where. Could you stand up today and give that testimony? When you repented of your sin and turned 180 degrees to Jesus Christ, believing He's the only way of salvation, you called on Him and received Him into your heart as your personal Savior. If you couldn't tell us that you did that, you couldn't tell us when it happened or where you were, it's never happened. Saved people know how and when and where. If you couldn't do that, friend, you need to realize you're an unbeliever. You don't qualify as a believer. You've never believed that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Number three, turn to John 3:36. Not only must you believe that you're a condemned sinner, not only must you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, you must believe Jesus. Do you know what I said? You must believe Jesus. Look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son, that's a believer, isn't it? Hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not, that's an unbeliever, isn't it? Not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now look real close there. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not, it doesn't say not on the Son. It says he that believeth not the Son. You're going to have to believe Jesus Christ. He said a lot of things, but just let me give you a few that you're going to have to believe. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." To perish is to go to hell. Repent, he said. Without repentance, you're still going that way. You change your mind about the way you're going, the way you're living, your old wicked sin. You change your mind about Him and you do 180 degrees and receive Him as Savior. But so many people don't want to repent. They want to still live in their sin. Want to hang on to their religion, but they don't want to go to hell, so they call over their shoulder, "Save me, Jesus! Save me, Jesus! Save me!" It says, "Whosoever shall call." No, but you're going that way. Him that cometh to me, that's true repentance. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Another thing. I've had people say to me, "I don't believe in hell." Yet they use the word all the time. Right. I've had some say, "Well, there's a hell for the real bad people. But it's not real fire. People don't burn." You know what Jesus Christ said in many places? Well, let me just give you one place to find it. I'm going to go read it right now. But in Mark chapter 9, six times Jesus Christ said hell is fire. Five of those six times, He said, it's fire that is never quenched. It goes on forever and ever and ever. The people that go to hell burn forever. There's never relief. There's never a drop of water. Jesus told a story about a man that went to hell. First thing he cried was, "Water! Send Lazarus!" He said, "Well, give me water." And then he cried, "I'm tormented in this F-L-A-M-E. Last time I read it, flame means fire. Jesus Christ said there's a burning hell. You better believe Jesus. Jesus also said in John 14:6, "I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The way. There's only one way to heaven. One way to the Father. Jesus Christ is the way. You've got to believe that. Or you're still going that way. You better believe Jesus. Not only that, but He said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Now, the holy city, the New Jerusalem in heaven, has 12 gates. But heaven only has one door. That door is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. You must believe Jesus or you're not a believer. The unbelieving have their part of the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. However, right now, all those people in hell are believers. They believe it now. Let's think of those three things I said. Number one, the Bible said you have to believe that you're a condemned sinner. John 3:18, did I make that clear? You must believe you're a condemned sinner. How about the people in hell right now? Do they believe they're condemned sinners? They sure do. That's one of the qualifications of being a believer, isn't it? They believe they're condemned sinners. When the soot-covered black gates of hell clank shut behind them, they know they'll never escape. They know they're condemned sinners. Well, that's the first qualification for being a believer, isn't it? They believe that. And then, I said, secondly, to be a believer, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. How about the people in hell right now? Do they believe that? They sure do. Now they believe Jesus Christ is the only way because they tried another way. And they're in hell. They're believers now. They believe that now. Then Jesus said, I am the door. Do they believe that now? Sure, they tried another door. And look where it got them. So they're believers, Brother Carter. There are no unbelievers in hell. They're all believers now. But it's too late. There's only one door. Have you taken that door? Have you come to that door for salvation, friend? I think back when God went to Noah and said, Noah, I've had it with this human race. I'm going to wipe them out. Noah, I'm going to send a big rain and make a flood. I want you to build an ark. And you get that ark built, you take your family. I want the family inside there. But the rest of this world, you can preach to them. Tell them they need to turn to me in repentance. But you get that ark built. And I've got a sermon I use where I show him Noah and his sons were building that ark. The crowds came. That'd draw a crowd, wouldn't it? I mean, in the desert where it hardly rained. And they'd come and say, Noah, what are you doing building this big boat out here? And Noah would lay down his hammer and his saw and he'd preach to them and tell them, you better repent, you better turn to God, you better turn from your sins before it's too late because God's going to send rain, it's going to make a flood, it's going to rise up and drown you all and you're going to hell. And I can imagine how they mocked him. God's not going to send a flood and drown us all. What are you talking about? Well, our minister said God is a God of love. He wouldn't do that. Well, no, we don't believe that, Noah. And this went on and on and on for all those years. And then the day came and they drove the last nail. Took all those animals, two by two, male and female, up into that ark. And then God said, okay, Noah, get your family in there. Noah and his family went into that ark. Who closed the door? God did. God shut that door and the rain began to fall. The thunderclouds came. The rain was falling. The water was rising. I can just picture those people banging on the side of the ark. Noah! Noah, let us in! Open the door, Noah! We believe you now! We believe you now! Gurgle, and they died and go to hell. They became believers, didn't they? Too late. Are you a real believer or an unbeliever? I've tried to show you from the Word of God today which is which. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed, please. And every eye closed in the audience. Brother Carter will be here with me and his workers will prepare themselves. But no one in the audience looking around, please. I don't want anyone to feel they're going to be embarrassed. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Question number one, I remind you, God's looking down from heaven right now. The same God you'll face in eternity. No one's looking around. Could you stand up today and testify before this crowd and tell us how, when, and where you got saved? When you became a believer? If you couldn't, friend, you're still in your sins. If you're trusting baptism and communion and church membership and what a priest does or some other such thing, you're still an unbeliever. But if you could say to me, preacher, I could tell you how. I could show you in the Bible what I did to get saved. I did repent of my sin. I did receive Christ into my heart, believing He's the only way of salvation. I could tell you how I did it. I could tell you when it happened in my life, preacher. And I could even take you to the spot in this world where I was when I received Him as my Savior. I'm saved and I know it. If that's your honest testimony, you're saved and you know it, would you lift your hand up real high for me right now? Would you keep them up till I ask you to drop them? By your hand high in the air, you're saying, yes, sir, preacher. See this hand? This hand is up to tell you in front of God who's looking down from heaven right now, I am saved. I could stand up and give my testimony right now about that day I became a believer and heaven is my home. Thank you. You may put them down. No one's looking around. Heads are still bowed. Now, Pastor Carter's here with me, but everyone else, heads bowed, eyes closed. Some of you could not lift your hand. I could count at least six, maybe seven of you that couldn't lift your hand. I appreciate your honesty. You didn't lift it to try to fool me. But you couldn't lift it and tell me you're a believer. You don't qualify to go to heaven. Do you want to go on like that? And become a believer when you hit the flames of hell, when it's too late to be changed? It'll happen to you if you don't get saved before it's too late. There's not a person in this building knows you're going to be alive 24 hours from now. Not one of us. To you who couldn't lift your hand a moment ago and tell me that you are saved, that you're a believer, do you want to go on like that? You don't have to. In just a moment after we have a word of prayer, we're going to stand up and have an invitation. Invite you to leave your seat and come down here to Dr. Carter and tell him that you want to become a real, genuine believer. And we'll take the Bible and we'll not make fun of you. We'll not embarrass you in any way, but we'll take you off to the side. He's got counselors that can take you and open up and show you exactly from its pages how to call on Jesus right now and be saved today. And you would say to me, preacher, a moment ago, I couldn't lift my hand and tell you I'm a believer, but I want to be. Would you just remember me in prayer, preacher, and ask God to give me the courage to step out and come and settle this matter right now while I still can? Now, friend, I wouldn't call your name out if I knew it. I promise I will not leave this pulpit. I will not come to where you're seated and point you out and embarrass you. I will not do that. But I want to give you an opportunity. Would you let me just remember you in prayer and ask God to help you? Put that hand up and I'll understand you saying, preacher, a moment ago I couldn't honestly lift my hand and tell you I'm saved, but I want to be. Would you ask God to help me? I don't want to go till it's too late and end up in a burning hell forever. Could I see your hand now? Would you let me remember you in prayer? Here's my hand, preacher. Ask God to help me. God bless you. Thank you. Others, me too, preacher. I need to settle this matter of salvation right now while I can. There were at least six other people who could not tell me that you're saved. You mean you don't care? You will when you get to hell. You may be thinking, I don't believe in hell. You will when you get there. You'll be a believer then. Don't walk out of here without Christ. We're not trying to tell you you've got to join this church to go to heaven. I'm telling you, you've got to join Jesus to go to heaven. We're here to take His book and lead you to Him. Somebody had to help us once. Now we're here to help you, but we can't if you won't let us. Others, here's my hand too, preacher. I couldn't lift it a moment ago, but I'll put it up now just to ask you, please remember me in prayer. I'll need courage to come, but I don't want to go on any longer as an unbeliever and die and go to hell. Anyone else would join with me in that? Dear Father, as we bow before You, I pray for this one dear man who has raised his hand to say, I'm not saved, preacher, but I want to be. God, would You give him the courage to step out and come to Pastor Carter today in this invitation, and so Brother Carter can have one of his counselors come and take him and open Your book and lead him to Christ. And I pray, Father, for these others. They didn't ask me to pray for them, but at least six others that could not lift their hand and tell me they're saved. Then God, help them to understand they're lost. They're unbelievers. They'll go to hell. And when they get there, they'll become believers. They'll believe it then, but it'll be too late. Help them to believe it now, to come and let us lead them to Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Will you stand, please? While we have this song of invitation, I'm asking you that are not saved, you come down and tell Dr. Carter you want to be saved, and we'll lead you to Jesus Christ. We'll take His book and lead you. Somebody had to help us, like I said. We're here to help you now. Will you come?